that we can work with in terms of the prorated monthly statements for over a year now. This broadcast project, we've already spent, hard to say exactly how much we spent because there's no records available to us, but we believe we spent just under half of the money that was budgeted. The majority of the money remains unspent. We have purchased a lot of equipment, but there's no money for construction, for electrical work, for installation, for parts and supplies, apparently. When we started the project, I have a stack of paper, correspondence going over the summer, explaining how when the project started, checks would have to come in a timely manner, that all of the money would have to be available because the entire project was slated to be done in a four-month period, and checks would have to come very regularly. We had some delays getting our initial checks.
WBAI New York.
So that our old transmitters were taken apart, dismantled, and hauled off the mountain. And then another check never came. And at that time, KPFK was broadcasting at 1/14th of its broadcast power. If we were only able to get our antenna out of storage at the bottom of the mountain to install the new antenna, it would create enough gain to get us up to 1/4 power, but we could not get a check cut for the $4,000 that was owed to Andy's Transfer and Storage in Pasadena. During that period of time, which came to light right before 911 and in the weeks after, when we were doing absolutely remarkable coverage of those events with the local KPFK staff and newsroom and volunteers, well over $110,000 was transferred directly out of our accounts to pay bills elsewhere in the foundation. It was a rare snapshot of what was going on for us. We don't have snapshots of other months, but I have a snapshot of a three-week period while we were at 1/14th power, where $110,000 of KPFK's money was diverted elsewhere. I'll talk more about the finances later. I think the actual financial picture of the whole is much larger than the numbers that are being bandied about, and I'll be happy to explain why. I want to explain this transmitter problem, though, because it's our business to broadcast. For 2 years, KPFK has been battling through John Kriegler and the FCC, a Mexican station that's broadcasting at extremely high power with a highly directional antenna illegally from across the border in Mexico, a kind of maquiadora radio, where the advertising base and the offices and studios are on the American soil, but the piece that has to be regulated by the government's on the other side on Mexican soil, where they broadcast illegally, disrupting our service entirely in San Diego County and affecting our service and disrupting and interfering in virtually every county we serve as far north as Santa Barbara County. So those of you who know the map of Southern California can imagine the amount of power that's being used to disrupt our signal. At 1/14th power, we were unhearable in most parts of the city without interruption. Parts of central Los Angeles, parts of the west side, completely unlistenable. At 1/4 power, the situation is slightly abated, but we are still dealing with a severely hampered signal as a result of Pacifica not making available to us our $800,000 previously raised fund. Mm-hmm. I know that Joanne Meredith worked very hard to try to free up money to do that, but that essentially the situation is that the foundation is living hand-to-mouth, paying bills that are connected to shut-off notices within minutes of things being shut off based on whatever dollar came in last. None of this was revealed to us until the last. We had our suspicions and we had our questions, but we were not able to get any confirmation of these facts until Joanne Meredith was put in the interim executive position and began to find out what was going on. And then she made as much available as she was able to do in the short time that she was in that position. To get our transmitter alone back on the air will be between $80,000 and $90,000, and it's hard to say exactly how much because it costs a lot more to start again than it does to continue work, so we will have to nail those numbers down, if you follow what I mean. To finish our entire project will be between $4,000 and $5,000. $4,000 and $500,000. We have control rooms that are obsolete, broken down, many on-air problems as a result of it. They were long overdue for replacement, and that's why everyone at KPFK works so hard to raise the money to do that. This may be obvious, but I'm going to say it again for today's record. I may not get a chance to say it again. The unauthorized and covert diversion of these funds to unbudgeted Pacifica National expenses violates and violated all standing Pacifica policy and practice, misdirecting targeted capital campaign gifts and bequests from donors is grossly unethical and probably fraudulent. Further, using or misusing federal grant monies and or matching funds that, by the way, were legally certified by the Pacifica Foundation to be available and in reserve for the completion of this project, can also be a federal offense. Unless this money is found soon, I cannot imagine that there will not be further consequences in this particular piece of the budgetary process. The support from our listeners is tremendous, and I'll describe that later in the report, but we can hardly go to the listeners again to raise a capital fund that we've already raised and that was misspent. There are serious issues here of malfeasance, whether it was intentional or unintentional, whether it was through neglect or whether it was just through incompetence. We can all come up with theories about it. But many of the members of this board were on the board then. While the board was having its terrible faction fight, this is what was going on. And this is one of the byproducts of this difficult time we've been in. Now, despite this trying situation, and if you can get a picture of a radio station that has had enormous success, that has had plenty of money to spend for our supplies and to hire people and to do things, it's experienced enormous audience growth. We've been dealing with past due bills, unreimbursed staff expenses for months, every vendor shut down, can't go to Staples, can't buy audio tape, dealing with a daily environment of crisis of things being shut off or about to be shut off, long-distance phone lines not working in studios because someone didn't pay that particular long-distance bill. I could go on for half an hour. Money that was donated to the station not being able to be taken out of a post office box because the caging house had not been paid, nor had the post office box been paid, even though the money's sitting in there and could simply be deposited and spent. Despite that kind of working environment, the programming at staff at KPFK completely scooped and outperformed any public radio station in the station's coverage of 911 and the aftermath. We had live breaking coverage right after the crash, and our special coverage has continued. Extensive special news and public affairs coverage has continued right till today. Our news department and our public affairs department worked tirelessly with very scant resources in a very trying environment, a handful of people literally, to provide timely breaking news and in-depth debate, an analysis of the crisis, and an approach to the military actions that included a wide range of alternative voices. We have a lot of programming awards, as usual, to brag about, golden mics and what have you, but I really want to call a special attention to the what I consider to be heroic media work by people under extreme circumstances in the station to stay focused on mission-driven programming, and I want to especially thank our news director, Katie Chen, and editor, Andrew Evans, on-air staff, John Beaupre and Mark Cooper, and behind-the-scenes producers, Jeff Kaufman, Autumn Dewar, and Dan Pavlish. While there are some measures of the quality of our service that are hard to quantify, listening, there are numbers. And if you want to take a look at the board report at some point that I provided to you, I do want to draw your attention to our chart of what we call average quarter hour. CUME would reflect how many people came to the meeting. Average quarter hour would reflect, on average in a 15-minute period, how many people are in the meeting listening to us. And as the rapt attention of this group sits here, there's a lot of listening going on. So when you look at average quarter hour as a measure, it tells you how much listening is going on, not just how many people sampled. The trends have been phenomenal, especially when you consider the interference with our signal over the last 2 years. We started, when I got there, I think the average quarter hour was 2,400 or 2,300 that summer. And if you look, we've averaged it out to deal with the trends. It's easily more than doubled in that time period. And I believe we would have significantly more growth if it weren't for the interference from Mexico and if it weren't for, frankly, the very demoralizing and difficult situation created essentially by the national crisis at Pacifica, the board conflict, and the crises that affected national programming. Until the radical change in policy about the dirty laundry rule that was passed at the board's telephone conference call, there's been a wide consensus of support We're keeping our internal disputes off the air except in forums specially set up for that kind of debate. Wide consensus of support among many differing views on staff that it is a standard of professionalism and commitment to the mission to not bring those debates and those conflicts, especially in the kind of overheated ways they are often brought to the air, to our air. That has changed, of course, by action of the board, and will continue to change by action of the board. And I just want to pass on to you that in my experience with Pacifica, never before has the board passed a policy like that without some attempt to hear recommendations from staff, without some attempt to discuss consensus-building ideas from the different stations, without some sense of review and discussion of all the various permutations and details of such a thing. This board itself has, in its own pleadings to the judge, tried to draw a line between what is called the gag rule and what's called the dirty laundry rule. And many of those things are in the eyes of the beholder, because we believe at KPFK we've been following the same policy that's been in place for decades and following it in the same way that it's been in place for decades. Now, I can understand somebody might have a different opinion about that, but the board didn't have the benefit of any input from staff before it made such a dramatic change in 50 years of programming policy. So I do want to bring that to your attention because it does affect staff. No doubt that each station is dealing with these kind of controversies in a different way. Our commitment to stay with mission-driven programming has created a situation that when the listeners judge our air, they are giving KPFK more listening and more listener support than ever before in the station's history by a wide margin. Our development efforts are very hard to give very good details about, considering the lack of reporting. But I can tell you, if you look at the other chart in the report about how much money we raise per day, a key benchmark for us was to shorten fund drives, both as a programming goal and as a development goal to raise more money on air in a shorter amount of time. When I was hired in 1995, about 60 years ago, I think three of the years were just this morning, a daily fund drive average would be $13,000, $14,000 a day. Our last drive at one quarter power, only a week after we had increased from 1/14th power, from 2 months of 1/14th power, raised over $54,000 per day. We once had drives that lasted 21 days and longer per year with a mini drive. KPFK has successfully, in the period of time of last year's, decrease our ANR fundraising to 10 days three times a year, and we haven't had a mini drive since I was hired. At the same time that this increase in listener support has happened through improvements in internal process, we've increased the amount of money that we collect from our donors by doing a better job and being more professional in the way we handle our development efforts. When I got there, the fulfillment benchmark was 67%. It's currently at 86%, although I can't vouch for numbers in the recent months because it's hard to keep up best development practices when you don't have postage, when you can't pay the printer, when there's all sorts of things hampering your basic operations and functioning, as have been going on in the past months. But our fulfillment trend has peaked at 86 or 87%. To take that just as a snapshot of station success, if you were to apply that to 1 year's of our last year of budgeted listener support, that's an increase of about $270,000 in cash to spend simply from doing a better job of collecting the money that's pledged during fund drive. Some of this is about our processes. Some of it's about the way we pitch, not being so premium-driven, doing shorter, more mission-driven, more station-oriented pitching than programming-driven pitching, than premium-driven pitching, the old style, as we call it at KPFK. So not only are our fund drives shorter, we're actually pitching during our fund drives far less per hour than we used to and raising more money than ever because it really does reflect a partnership with the listeners who are listening so far more of our programming. Since 1996, to be sure, I couldn't get my hands on 95, a year I only partially managed, fiscal year 96, KPFK has finished every fiscal year with a significant, sometime astoundingly large, surplus, both a result of under-budget and sometimes far under-budget spending and over-budget and sometimes far over-budget fundraising. Those surpluses have been accumulated over the years. Some of them were dedicated to our transmitter fund. Some of them were spent and rolled into other budgets, but many of them were in a savings account. We have a lot more money missing than the $200,000 of unpaid bills that are currently more than 90 days past due. A lot more money. And it's been some months since the change in the national leadership of the staff, and we still have nothing close to an answer. I have a long paper trail I'd be happy to provide to board members of demanding financial statements that would immediately clear up the transfers in and out of our accounts over the last year, because as of a year ago, which I would say with some surety, although I may be off by weeks or a month in one way or another, in January of last year, the financial integrity of how Pacifica budgeted and spent its money was essentially intact. Although money might be used to meet a short-term obligation in one financial unit, or one budgeted unit, money was always returned and well accounted for. We have 7 or 8 years of equipment reserves, severance reserves. That money is often being used to pay other bills, but there were an accounting of those monies. Those monies belong to the station and should be returned to the station. There are savings accounts. There are long-term cash management accounts. There are gifts of stock. There are monies that are targeted bequests. My understanding is that with the exception of programming endowment money that required a signature from someone on the board, and there was no treasurer to give that signature, my understanding is, and again based on very scant information, that every single account KPFK has or had has been cleaned out. So in addition to our $800,000 transmitter fund, the bulk of which was unspent, all of our savings, all of those reserves, our targeted gifts, all of that money was diverted elsewhere. It would seem to me, let alone money that was in our regular operating account that was diverted elsewhere, let alone money that was borrowed by creating an unpaid bills by essentially destroying our credit with all vendors after it took us 4 or 5 years to rebuild our credit and credibility with vendors. Because when I came to the radio station, let's remember, there had been layoffs. There was seven, possibly eight people on staff. There wasn't a single piece of equipment that was modern or working. There were no networked computers. In fact, the only computers were things that were donated that were already obsolete. The facilities were in dreadful shape. This money that was diverted from all of our work needs to be returned to the station to restore staff confidence, because there's only one way to raise the kind of money we raise in a fund drive, and that is with the confidence and the passion of staff working with tremendously talented and passionate volunteers, going and feeling credible when they talk to the audience and asking people to do something that's absolutely insane. For no damn reason at all, you're going to call a radio station and give money. And if people don't have confidence at every level that there is financial integrity, there is no future in that operation. And financial integrity, from my point of view, knowing that Pacifica generates about $1 million in SCA income that it centralizes, that it has other income streams, that it has access to credit lines of credit and other ways to bring money in, let alone the good old-fashioned way that every other nonprofit board I know raises money, which is by having the board raise money, which has long been not a tradition of this organization, or having the local advisory boards raise money, which has long not been a tradition of this organization. The idea that the stations are the saviors to go out and raise, as I heard proposed yesterday, all the many millions of dollars is simply unacceptable. The KPFK staff is very united in its call that they have brought to the air since the rules were passed about dirty laundry, its call for this board to take decisive action to return the monies and commit to a process for returning the monies to KPFK, to commit to a process for returning the autonomy, not the autonomy, the control, that day-to-day operational control of the money to KPFK so that it's absolutely transparent. And a third issue, which I would like to give a little background to before I actually mention it. There is widespread alarm at KPFK among staff that there has been a radical shift and change in policy of this organization. While there have been many, I believe, false or distorted charges about board interference in programming matters or content. Never before in the history of KPFK, in 43 years, has the board ever issued a directive to staff related to programming. The few broad national policies that we have were passed with broad consensus from stations based on staff recommendations and full and open debate. Even the national programs that we have created and funded and launched, all the decision-making was made at the local station level to fund the shows, to centralize the money, and then whether or not to air the shows. Additionally, the board, for perhaps well-meaning reasons, has requisitioned airtime for itself, again, changing the editorial control of our air. The board has changed operating policies about who's going to be on the air. Oh, an issue was raised that no longer is it in the purview of local stations to make a programming change until it is referred to a committee of the board with a 3-4 vote. These are things passed by the board as part of the language of the various resolutions that were passed. There are subtleties there that you may not feel are part of the motion, but they're very clearly part of the motion from where I sit. And there's been no debate of these policies. They represent a radical departure of centralized control on the part of the national board and direct interference in programming. And the staff are also united in their call for the full restoration of KPFK's editorial independence and its right to determine its local programming to schedule and to manage its air and its air personnel locally, not by a directive of the national board.
Point of order.
I'm sorry if I'm going on too long.
No. Leslie, it's pretty warm in here. Is there a way that we can either turn up some air conditioning or...
Well, I believe the air conditioning is off for the season, but, you know, it's wintertime in New York. There are no windows in here. But could one of the volunteers try and find one of the building people and see if there's anything that can be done for around the air? I know, but maybe there's some windows up in there, or maybe a back door could be opened. Okay, and the point is...
I'll be happy to conclude my hot air.
Excuse me, let's not break the flow here. Thank you for raising that. Mark, though...
Just one final thought, and I'll wrap up.
Yes, thank you.
One final thought, and I'll wrap up, and I'm sorry to go on, but there's been a lot to be said.
Okay.
The final point that I would like to make is that we have a mission to bridge understanding between people, and I think... we have forgotten some of those core values to explore the causes of philosophical antagonisms, contribute to a lasting understanding. The language in our mission does not portray a black and white world. It doesn't portray good guys and bad guys. It portrays lots of shades of gray, many varied opinions, room for discussion and broad consensus. And many people have falsely portrayed this conflict between two factions. And one are supposedly the good guys and the righteous, and one are supposedly the evil usurpers. Please finish. The most grossly abusive language, the most grossly offensive tactics have been used, in my opinion. Some of them bragged about, maybe that's subject to interpretation, but I think trying to intimidate employers so that people lose their jobs because of their association with a nonprofit board is McCarthyite. But that's just my opinion. And people who condone that have nothing to do with the progressive broad mission of Pacifica, in my opinion. But that's just my opinion. And I rarely express it, by the way, in public. Despite...
Okay, please.
Considering that mission... it's all the more remarkable to the KPFK staff who see themselves as a third faction within Pacifica. And there may be a fourth faction and a fifth faction and a sixth faction. But the staff and volunteers of KPFK do not see themselves as part of that fight. They've been in conflict with the National Board forever. They have an outstanding grievance of almost 3 years. And because we chose to honor a policy of keeping the dirty laundry off the air, except in special forms and reports to the listener where people could say stuff, a policy invented by the founders of the organization in Berkeley, a policy established at every station early in the history of those stations, For that, we've been vilified. I've had over $3,000, $4,000 worth of vandalism, physical threats, violence, pushing, shoving, name-calling, and the grossest kind of language, physical intimidation, and what have you. That wouldn't be a problem were it not for what I consider to be a key matter before this board. The staff are a third faction. Those are the people who, whether you like them or not, whether you think they're doing it well or you think they're doing it poorly, raise all the money, all of it, except for a tiny amount at the five stations. They're the people who live the mission every day. Now, it's subject to interpretation. You can criticize it. That's fair game. But they do that every day, and they resent being lumped in one group or another. And I personally resent the idea of these proceedings, of these board reports from the staff, the employees of this organization, of which I am one, starting out with a demand for a loyalty oath. So I would like this board to seriously, especially those of you who consider yourselves dissidents, to seriously consider the core principles that you have put forth and try for a moment to see yourself from the perspective of a third faction who sees the board making programming decisions, the board conducting a two-day search out of compliance with our affirmative action guidelines adopted by the board. They see the board interfering with personnel matters, requisitioning money and unfunded mandates, taking time for itself, and condoning tactics of boycott, condoning people who have engaged in intimidating what we see as McCarthyite tactics to win in a faction fight. I understand that you're not going to agree with me. I understand that. But I'd like you to ask yourselves if these are how you want your core values to be seen by a third faction, the people who do the work, who look to you to resolve your differences and protect the foundation from the kind of financial debacle that has unfolded in the last year as a result of your attention being on your faction fight instead of on the money.
Thank you.
So thank you. That's the end of my report.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you. No, sure, please. I'm sorry, folks, but I really, if people could stop it, if people could stop booing and clapping, we really don't need any of it. We need to focus on the issues. I just want to thank Mark for an extremely thorough and long, but very thorough presentation. And let me, before I pass it over to David Adelson, I just want to say that I think the money issues that you spoke to, I thought it was very important for the board to hear that. I think you probably hit on issues that are a concern to all five stations, and this is a major concern about how the money in this foundation is managed. And the I should say that if I could take the moment to take a privilege of the chair here, I totally agree with the perspective you laid out that the stations need to manage their own money, have control of their own money, and that's the direction we have to move in. And, you know, so I think that's important, but that's also not. You know, we're not going to open that debate right now. Also, again, on the grievance issue, we do need to look at that. That is a long-standing item, as you raised, and you raised a whole host of other issues that need to be looked at. What I want to do is turn the mic over to David Adelson,
David,
who is the chair of the...
I just want to make one statement. Mr. Shrove, you referred to a resolution that was passed earlier.
No. Sorry. I'd like to let David make a statement, and then comments or questions to either David or Mark will be appropriate.
There's a reference.
Thank you very much, Laura.
I just want to say that there was a resolution that I seconded earlier, and I want to make clear that what I seconded was not a spirit of necessarily kissing and making up, but because if there are serious violations that took place, I think they should be investigated. What I supported was simply a process where two parties would get together and investigate if indeed they can get rid of confusions and maybe come to some agreement, if possible.
Okay.
Thank you.
David is sitting up here.
Hi, thanks very
David,
much.
David, I don't want to cut you off before you even begin, but you'll try and do a tight presentation, right?
I'll go as fast as I can.
Okay,
Mr. Shrove laid out in a very remarkable presentation, as he's often capable of, a large number of statements, which I think I need to address, so I'll go as quickly through them as I can. Mr. Shrove selected certain aspects of the mission statement. I want to read the one that I find very important as well, which is to promote the full distribution of public information. And further, to employ such varied sources in the public presentation of accurate, objective, comprehensive news on all matters vitally affecting the community. in the spirit of some accuracy and comprehensiveness, I want to address a number of things that Mr. Shub said. First of all, and this is, by the way, with reference not just to a gainsaying back and forth, but to a statement that's being read every hour on the hour, as I understand it, at KPFK, that exhorts listeners, well, that I believe is intentionally misleading with the intent of getting listeners to believe that the abuses of the prior board are the fault of the current board, and explicitly, I believe, intended to actually undermine fundraising in support of Pacifica, and contains many of the same misrepresentations that Mr. Shub's presentation just now did. For example, the reference to the vague... Excuse me, Mr. Shub, I waited for you to finish. I will take the privilege of finishing.
I made no accusations about any individual.
If we can let him speak,
in any case,
let you answer after you
the
speak.
The statement about the first time the National Board has ever inserted itself or encroached upon local programming decisions, of course, the National has always mandated a report to the listener by the manager, which this manager has not performed in a regular way in several years. Moreover, with respect to the question of local control about programming, I'd like to read this memorandum from 1995, which was sent by Pat Scott to all local advisory boards of directors, in which she says that, quote, at the October 1994 National Board meeting, the board mandated that the station managers reconfigure programming to better serve core listeners in each signal area, develop more relevant and professional programming, and thereby increase audience. We were mindful that this would unfortunately inconvenience, if not distress, some staff, board, and audience members. It will mean that there will be many alterations to current and longstanding practices at the stations. This may include elimination of aspects of the traditional program format, repositioning of others, and development of new and innovative programs. Further, that the local advisory board is hereby directed not to take action that will impede the plans of station staff, members of any local board who do not feel they can assist Pacifica in its present mission are advised to resign if there are indications actions are being taken collectively or individually to countermand the policies, directives, and mandates of the Pacifica board. The board will take appropriate steps. This is the beginning of a transformation of the basic structure of broadcasting at Pacifica mandated by the National Board and imposed upon the local stations. Mr. Shove was charged with this reconfiguration, and it led to the removal of over 60 programs within a couple of years of his arrival and the removal of over 100 volunteers and staff people. One of the core goals of this reconfiguration, and as it happened throughout non-commercial broadcasting, was to establish what is essentially target market programming, take a core audience and increase its basic listening time, and as Steve Yasko said at length in the 2000 board meeting on programming, that the key thing that was desired to be avoided was that people would tune out. So different statistics get used at different times to make arguments for the success of this approach. Given the change in programming approach was intended to do the things it did, the fact that it did them shouldn't be so much of a shock. The real more important issue is, on what basis was the decision made, by whom, and was it consistent with the founding values of Pacifica? Now, with reference to the use of numbers, one of the reasons the local board would like access to many of the numbers is that the numbers, I think, you know, this is alternately ascribed to Disraeli, I think, and to Mark Twain, that there are three kinds of lies, damn lies, and statistics. One of the favorite statistics that the administration KPFK likes to use is the audience numbers in 1995, which was an anomalously low year for their audience numbers. For example, in presentation on the Pacifica board site that talks about the QM, which is the total number of people listening in the metro area, if you reference the size of the audience to the 1995 years, the year 1995, it looks like there's a big increase, over 30% or more. If you reference it to 1993, the increase is less than 8%. At the audience levels at which Pacifica operates, the noise in those audience measurements is so great. But over time, you do see a trend, and I fully believe the data that have been presented by Mr. Shub with respect to AQH rising steadily as a trend. But again, that was the decision mandated by the board, imposed on the local station without widespread consent, and actually calling for the widespread removals of people. Now, one of the events in that trajectory I happened to be listening the night that Mark Shub interrupted a program by African-American programmers about African and African-American issues, who were talking about the widespread removal of African-American programmers and Latino programmers from KPAFK and from Pacifica, and they were interrupted mid-program, followed by dead air with no explanation to the audience. The next day, a memorandum went up from Mr. Shub that said, "We need your help in honoring KPFK's longstanding policy against airing dirty laundry, including event announcements for that purpose," meaning you cannot announce an event at which internal policy will be discussed. They said, "This is one of the, even if the offense is by a guest or a caller, please remember that it is your responsibility to cut it off immediately and to move on. This is one of the few rules we have at KPFK that will lead absolutely, lead to permanently being removed from the station. I appreciate the respect you have for our audience and for the professionalism that you bring to your work here." Now, Mr. Shub made reference also to the recently lifted gag rule and complained that it was not lifted in consultation with the local stations. But in fact, as members of the board who have been here for more than a couple of years know, in the fall of 1999, the board passed a resolution in Houston saying that the managers would have authority over the exercise of that dirty laundry or gag rule, meaning that in particular because the people in Berkeley were disposed to discuss with their listeners issues at the Pacifica level so that their listeners would be aware of what was going on at Pacifica and would know to whom they were donating their money and how it was being used. So the manager has had that authority for the last couple of years. Further, if it were the case that the gag rule had been lifted, and that was the reason for going on the air with the present campaign of this announcement, which I'll get to in a moment, then that same resolution called for the presentation of balanced, moderated programming during drive time to present the issues in a fair manner, and that has not even been attempted. I won't bother to remind everyone that, in fact, the judge did not rule in favor of that motion until last Thursday, so that all of this stuff was done prior to it. Okay, moving on. Let me see. Hold on just a moment. Okay, in the examples that were given about the failure of the board or of the Pacifica National Management to provide financial data, that is, as everybody knows, the case. For whatever reason, the management, given the authority they were given back in 99, decided to keep from listeners up until this moment the fact that that money was being spent in that way. And now this announcement that's going on the air, I believe, is intended to undermine the confidence of the listeners. And at this time, that's a very interesting thing. Now, I'm going to read a couple of statements from this CART that is going out over the air, read mainly by management personnel, but also by staff people. It says, "First, we must apologize to many of you who pledged during our November fund drive and who have not yet received your thank you gifts. We do not know when those gifts will be mailed out because Pacifica Foundation has not paid our bills. We must," and he would go on to talk about the difficulty people must be having in Southern California listening to the station, and I can verify that. I live in West L.A., and the signal is terrible and static-ridden. Now, how is this possible when KPFK has had one record-breaking fund drive after another? In the past year, at the direction of Pacifica, all control of KPFK's accounts and banking were moved from L.A. to Washington, D.C. In the name of centralization and efficiency, all of our accounting and check writing are now handled there by Pacifica. Check writing has been handled by Pacifica since 1995, as I understand it. And KPFK has not received accounting reports on how our money is being spent. This is a shock, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is a shock, but we at KPFK must disclose that we have learned in recent weeks that Pacifica has spent our money. KPFK's savings accounts, years of operating surpluses, and even the bulk of KPFK's $800,000 capital fund for our transmitters and new control rooms are simply no longer available to KPFK. The money has been and continues to be diverted elsewhere in Pacifica. So there's no specificity in this. This is misinformation. We're talking about Pacifica's mission statement, talking about the full comprehensive disclosure of information, and this is a very slanted viewpoint put on trying to associate, again, the abuses of the prior board with what is presently the case. Further, they say that, quote, "Also for the first time in the history of Pacifica, the Pacifica National Board has decided to encroach on the editorial independence of our station and now intends to have the board itself make decisions about who or what you may hear on KPFK. So I would ask that the board ask the manager to be specific about what the claims are. And the reason is this, because there's been a solicitation for listeners at a website that's being given out for them to call me and Mr. Fertig. And I want to say that I think the board has, honestly, I think the board has reason for optimism, because of the over 150 calls I've received, of the calls I've been able to get to, which is over 100, I would say the sentiment is running 90% or more in favor of the current board and what it's done. When I first speak to them, they have a great deal of confusion, but it takes all of about 5 minutes, and when presented with the data about what's going on, that resistance dissolves and they're offering to be very supportive. So I think that, and that goes for staff. That goes for staff as well. I want to report that we've had some very encouraging signs on the local board in recent weeks, with staff contacting us or us contacting staff, and they're being very responsive to us. At our last board meeting, several paid and unpaid staff were present and were very friendly, if not outright laudatory, to the actions of the board. So I want to say that I think that our ability to move forward as a lab is going to be greatly enhanced as soon as we can get out accurate information about what's going on. Lastly, I just want to talk about the activities of the local board very briefly, and that is we are convening, beginning next week, a series of community meetings to discuss the coming elections of LABs. We have different members of our board who have different ideas, some who claim that Western-style elections are just a rubber stamp of approval on what is otherwise a plutocratic process, and want to see something more like binding plebiscites, but that will be going on. Additionally, we're working very closely with a network of neighborhood groups around the city, more than 15 chapters, the Free Pacifica Neighborhood Network, who have a website at fpnn.org. Additionally, we're moving forward on developing a mission rating. One of the problems, I think, in what's happened at Pacifica is there's discussion about how your audience rating and your money are doing, and those are commercial measures. And with all the howling about serving the mission, everybody says they're serving the mission. We all have different civic values. If there's no way to arbitrate those differences and agree on what we each care about, then it's going to be very difficult to determine whether we're serving the mission, and it will just be a question of who happens to be in power at a given moment. And so in addition to giving listeners a vote for people who will wield institutional power, we want to see listeners able to vote all the time by evaluating their programs. So we're moving that effort forward as well. Our meetings have been packed as a result of the announcements on the air, and again, almost entirely supportive, though many people enter the room bewildered, they leave very pleased about the activities that we expect this board to engage in. Last point is that our board also feels very strongly that there needs to be a return to local of local control, which was usurped beginning in 1995, over all kinds of station activities, so that staff, volunteers, local boards, et cetera, have meaningful input. Thanks. I'm sorry to take so long.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There are, I just want to point out, it's a quarter to four. I want to point out two people signed up from the L.A. area who are here who want to make comments. Tomorrow I'm going to propose that our next board meeting be in Los Angeles. And hopefully this board will agree to that. And that therefore that I would ask that we not get into more discussion today. Some of these issues obviously require the financial situation, the grievance we need to figure out how to handle immediately. But some of the other bigger questions, I would hope that we would not get into a big round of discussion here today, that because we are in New York, I would like to have time today to deal with the recommendations that we know are coming forth from the committee that has met about the WBAI situation. So I don't want the people from L.A., either the station manager, the LAB chair, or the listeners who are here, to feel that they're being cut out. But I want to ask your cooperation, because it is so late, that we not get very deeply into this. What I want to do is take the two comments. There are only two people from L.A. There are only two people, and then hear from Mark.
Privilege.
Yes?
Point of personal privilege.
Okay, yes.
Some allegations were made that I'd like to briefly clarify the record.
So that's like, can we just get the two? Excuse me. Shush. Can we just get the only two listeners from the LA area signed up? Can we then give Mark just 2 or 3 minutes to respond? Sorry, excuse me, I'm not asking you. Sorry, but I'm not asking everybody in the room. I'm asking the board if we could give Mark 2 or 3 minutes to respond. And
Leslie,
Jabari has his hand up too. And
I have
David.
A couple of questions I would like to pose to Mr. Shen.
Okay, but I would actually ask David if you would consider holding that because, again, I'm sorry that, you know, that we are late on this agenda, but let's hear from the two listeners from the area, and then we'll deal with how to deal with everything else. Okay, the two people, Farah Devori.
I'm going to go first. I'm Karen
Palmer. Okay, I'm sorry, Karen Palmer.
My name is Karen Palmer, and I live in Los Angeles. I've been listening to KPFK for about 30 years. I know people probably don't believe I'm that old, but... I just want to say that the people in Los Angeles are very excited that Democracy Now! Is back on the air. That's our favorite show. And unfortunately, though, Mark Shub must drink his coffee at 9 a.m., if people know what I'm referring to. Mark Shub at one point said that he thought he didn't want to hear about police brutality with his coffee in the morning, because he's only playing Democracy Now! At 6 a.m., and he was mandated by Pacifica Management, not just the board, to play it at its regular time slots, and he's refusing to do that. He's just playing it at 6 a.m. and not at 9 a.m., which is when 75%, I'm guessing, of the listeners are used to listening to Democracy Now!, and we would like to have that back as soon as possible. The other thing Mr. Shub has done since a new board has been put in place, he has suspended and now taken off the air one of the most popular shows called Seditious Beats. It's one of the only shows, the hip-hop show for young people. It's one of the only shows on KVFK for young people. It's primarily young Latinos and African Americans that listen to this show. He took the show off the air by coincidence 2 weeks after there was a fundraiser for Democracy Now! In Los Angeles, and the host for Seditious Beats, Fidel Rodriguez, was the MC of this event. Do you think that's a coincidence? I don't know. He continues to fire people arbitrarily as retaliation. As David mentioned, 150 people have been fired, banned. And he talk about bragging. He was saying about bragging. He brags about this, that he's taken all these people off the air. One of the first people he fired was Lynn Gary on September 15, 1995, when he first came in. Then he first went after the African-Americans and Latino programmers. Then he went after anybody who was progressive or who dared to write. And he went after Robin Yurovich, who's with Free Speech Radio News. He fired her for printing an article criticizing KPFK and Pacifica, not even on the air. He just continues to the point where there is no person of color during drive time hours that has a public affairs program. He decimated the Spanish language programming. Now, most people know Los Angeles is majority of Spanish language speakers. I wanted to bring to your attention to the board, we have gotten hundreds of these letters asking that Mark Shub resign immediately. Okay, quiet. Quiet, please.
Quiet, please.
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 We emailed some of them to you, but and they were getting them from people we've never even heard from before. It's just really gone. So that's basically the point that I wanted to make, is that we really need to reclaim our station. We need to be able to have access to the station. We haven't had community access to the station in the entire 10 years that Mr. Shub has been there. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, and one more speaker. Farah, please, folks. Folks, I know you're all going to be very upset when I cut back public comment time during the BAI section. So can we please hold it down? Please let us move this agenda. You're cutting into all the time.
My name is Farah Devori. I'm a staff member of Pacifica Campaign in L.A.
I've been a listener, I think, since mid-90s, and I've called Mr. Shub many times, left messages, never returned a call, by the way. I was there Monday morning. I was trying to find out, me and some other listeners, why Democracy Now! Is not being aired at 9 a.m., its regular time. And there was no manager until 11 o'clock, by the way. I was there from 8 o'clock in the morning. No manager until 11 o'clock. But when they showed up, they were scared. They told me to leave the reception room of the station. This is how they treat the listeners. Listeners are scary to the management. We don't... They are. What they care about is not the listeners, is the money. Did you see the report? The whole report of Mr. Shub was about the money, not the content, not what the listeners really wanted. Now, I happen to be have heard of at least 2,000 listeners who do not like what they hear on KPFK, and they are not supporting KPFK. And some of those listeners were called, we call them high donors. 3 months ago, we took them to the station with a letter, and one of them had bequested two pieces of land of $700,000 worth. Now, so I'm just trying to say that the content also matters to them, but it's the content that they like, not the listeners and not the community. Bequested $700,000 worth of land to the station. He took it off because he wanted an explanation about what was going on with the control of the content. They did not meet with them. They asked for an appointment. They did not return their call and give their appointments. Wait, I'm sorry. I'm speaking on behalf of a lot of listeners.
Okay,
it's very important that I get out a few issues at least. You know, one of the listeners that when I was coming out here, they gave me a lot of papers to bring here, I have to tell you, but I'm not going to get to it, but this is a sentence that he put down here. Ask not what the rich and powerful are doing to us so much as how we are going to resist, thwart, and overthrow them. You know what KPFK does? He was bragging about the programming. That's all they do. They either have RAND Corporation experts on air to comment about the daily issues of the political, that's public affair programming. They either have RAND Corporation, ex-CIA member, ex-military experts, and this is what we hear. And their best people are the nation contributors, which there is a lot of question about what nation is doing with KPFK, at least. I don't know about the other stations. That's what they're doing to us, and that's the content they're presenting to us. He bragged about 9/11. You know, 9/11, where I went to hear about what was really what the people were thinking about, especially about the racist issue. It wasn't on KPFK because at 1 o'clock on a rare show, the host was talking to somebody about how to find your angel. Yes, that's what they were playing. That's called good programming. However, you know where I went? I went to KPCC, Minnesota Public Broadcasting, because they had call-ins. And people were calling in and talking about the racist issue that they had to deal with. You know, there's more. Listener paid $1,000.
Sorry, Farah. I know this is very important. Could you try to wrap it up?
Anyway, my message from the listener is either this board, we are requesting that this board immediately suspend Mark Shub. Mark Shub, wait. Mark Shub, Mark Cooper are controlling the air. Mark Cooper talks on air saying, it's my show, it's my listeners. No, we do not belong to him. It's our station. We want our station back. We want Mark Shub immediately removed.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, folks, hold on. Okay. Jabari had a question, and David had a question, and Mark wanted a chance to respond. I would really like to... I'm sorry, folks. Folks, this is the board of a national organization with five stations, all of which are in crisis. We are not going to solve the problems of one station without solving the problems of all the stations. This board needs to hear... the points of view, the issues, you know, the ideas from the different listening areas and the different stations. I beg your indulgence in another, I would say, 5 more minutes. At 4 o'clock, we move to WBAI. That means that the people who have questions, that is Jabari and David, if you can, if the people who those questions are addressed to can not feel that you have to answer them right now, that, again, we will have time at the next meeting for a much more thorough probe of what's going on in Los Angeles and at the station. We really have to move this along. So, Jabari, I'm going to give you 1 minute to ask your question, and David, I'm going to give you 1 minute to ask your question. And then Mark.
Also,
and then Mark.
I had my hand up, too.
Please.
Madam Chair, you said after the public comment, we could ask questions. I want to be recognized.
Folks, I would, again, like to ask this board to cooperate with me, and that is...
We would like to cooperate with you, but when you change the rules in the middle of a game, that's not correct. You had indicated... Look, you said that after statement was made that he would have an opportunity to respond.
That's what I said, that Jabari will ask David David.
No,
honey. Oh, okay. I wanted to get all the questions out so Mark could answer all of them.
But
we can leave it the other way. Mark can make his comments. Then we'll have the questions
without answers.
Okay, Mark. I'm sorry. Please be quiet.
We spent almost 2 hours talking about KPFT.
Excuse me. You have to be quiet. It was not 2 hours, but please be quiet.
If the mic's up, is it up? Hello?
I don't know.
Could somebody turn the mic up?
You just have to get right into it, Mark.
Well, I was just told by the...
I'm sorry. 1 second. There are about 25 people outside. Some of them apparently are from out of the city. If anybody can listen on the radio, I don't know if there's any room still in the other room. If some people could, you know, quietly leave and open up some spaces to some others, we'd appreciate that. Thank you. Okay, Mark. Okay, sorry about that.
Did you just tell me to pull back on the mic?
Madam Chair, I do need to say the whole thing about the mic is really ridiculous. I'm told to pull back, I'm told to push in.
I'm sorry.
I've been broadcasting for decades.
This is what we have in the room. So if you can use what we have.
I just want to very quickly say that I did my best during my report to make sure that everything I said was accurate and not to characterize the statements or actions of others, because I think to do so is divisive and misleading. I do not want...
Quiet.
You may disagree with the statement or an interpretation you have of the statement the staff read on air. It is accurate. It was looked at, discussed, so that it is accurate from the point of view of the staff. Perhaps it doesn't appear that way to you. They believe it to be accurate. I believe it to be accurate. Statistics like 60 people, 150 people fired are complete fiction. We won't go into the details. The idea that a programmer who didn't show up for his to start his show on time 2 weeks in a row, who went on vacation for 3 weeks, leaving the show in control of some other person who wasn't there in the first half hour of the show, at a midnight show where that program is responsible for the safety and the security of the building, that the program director chose to suspend that person as an independent pursuit of our longstanding policies about that sort of stuff. These are the kind of allegations. To take that and turn that into some sort of political persecution or some banning and firing is the kind of thing that has created a black and white situation that is very counter to our mission. No one mentioned at any of these microphones was fired by me. Many programs were canceled long before I got there. Many programs were taken off the air long before I got there. Programmers had been taken off the air for reading announcements to try to organize against the programming changes before I got there. The one program I did interrupt, for the record, brought on a group of some of whom were anti-Semitic programmers who had been removed by the previous management of the station, an African-American general manager, an African-American program director, brought back on the air calling the radio station racist, with the managed with programming that had been taken off for being anti-Semitic. I thought it was a lie to the audience, and I pulled it off the air, and I thought it was appropriate to pull it off the air. None of the people on that program had ever brought grievances to me of any kind, the new manager at the station, and I thought what they were doing was disingenuous. No one has been pulled off the air. No staff member has ever been fired or disciplined over content. Not once, not ever. And I just want that clear on that.
Thank you. Okay, Jabari has a question. I'm sorry, Jabari and David, and then we're moving on.
No,
Jabari and then David.
After
Jabari.
The presentation, public comment,